Okay, hello, good evening. It is Thursday night at 7 o'clock, which means it is time for H3 Health, Happiness, and Hope. I'm Alan Friesen, the Acapellist, and with me is Brother Scott Sweetman. Hey, Brother Scott, how's it going tonight?
It's going great. It's a beautiful day outside, and I got a little breeze coming in my studio here, and it's brilliant. I can't tell
Nice.
you how beautiful it is. And hello to those of us that are listening to us on our new podcast communities. It's pretty exciting. Tonight is our first show that will be published to the podcasts. There's about 10 of them, Ellen. I was blown away. Yeah, there's the big ones, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and then there's many others. So welcome to our listeners and our viewers.
And tonight, what are we talking about? We're talking about building community and one of the ways to build community, right, Scott?
Yeah, this is really interesting. And it was Alan, if you've watched our show or listened to our show, Alan and I talk a lot about serendipity and resonance, two things that we believe exist in the universe and help us get through our days and live amazing lives despite our best efforts to mess them up. And Alan was part of it was a course, right? Presentation kind
It
of.
was actually Alberta Health Services. It was a YouTube thing that people participated in, just kind of sharing that as a community building type thing that you could kind of replicate anywhere. Yeah.
And it was on the LSH. What does that stand for again?
Lethbridge, oh no, not Lethbridge. The Living Schoolhouse, I believe it
Oh.
is. Yeah.
Perfect.
Or
Got it.
local schoolhouse. It's basically about you open the doors to your house and say, come on in, and here's what I know that I can show you how to do this woodworking or make sauerkraut or make kombucha or I'm an artist, and come and try this with me kind of a thing, right? So yeah.
Yeah, no, that was really interesting. And how I found that out is I keep notes on show ideas and listeners and viewers that send me little snippets and things I hear in the news or ideas that come to me in the middle of the night. And one of the things that I'd been looking at was, spring activities related to health and wellness. And I'd come across the topic of how reviving traditions is the topic that sort of got me on this. And one of the things that they were talking about was how community gardens are a tradition that almost died out, but they're coming back post-COVID. Community gardens are a really big deal. And they're a big deal, not just for one reason, but for a whole plethora of reasons.
Nice.
Yeah. And
Exciting.
this tied right in with what Alan happened to learn that afternoon in the schoolhouse talk, which is about, basically opening up your doors and building community.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Just another way, another means in order to make connection with other po people in your neighborhood.
Yeah, really interesting. I don't know why. Can you still hear me, Al?
You have a little like it's like a little buzz, not a buzz, a click, click, clicky, clicky sound kind of happening.
Oh, that's probably my camera because I seem to be frozen.
Oh, you're back now.
I'm back. Yeah, I just switched cameras. Luckily, I had two of them loaded up. Sorry about that. I do look a little ghosty from that one, but we'll
We
deal
still
with
have a
that.
little clicky sound happening.
Oh, hold on. Yeah, that'll probably really annoy our podcast people. Let me see here. Sorry, everyone. A little technical difficulty here.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes, oh, I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes, Lord, I feel like a motherless child, a long, long way from my home. Figured that musical interlude would get Scott back on. All right, he's not back yet. How about Sunny? Yesterday, my life was filled with rain. Oh, Sunny, you smiled at me and really eased my pain. Now my dark days are gone and my bright days are here. My sunny one shine so sincere. Sunny one so true. I love you. Sunny one so true. I love you. Sunny, thank you for the truth you let me see. Oh, Sunny, thank you for the facts from A to Z. Are you back, Scott?
I am back. Thank you for the great music. Can you hear me? Is the clicking sound gone?
Clicking sound's gone. Can see you perfect. All good.
Serendipity cuts both ways, doesn't it, brother?
It's funny. It does.
Sorry about that, everyone. We're back. Anyway, we were talking about community gardening and the benefits it has, not just in the area of, you know, some great vegetables growing, but also in the areas of mental health and social resonance or social resistance, which is really a popular topic these days, or something that's really important.
Connection with the soil, the ability to enjoy that fresh produce that doesn't have anything sprayed on it or any chemical inputs, right? That you have this organic produce that you're creating. Lots of advantages. Yeah, that's great.
Well, and I came across a really interesting word, and this was another one of those interesting things. When I did my research, there's a lot of research. When I did my research, I found there's a lot of research going into this in Canada via some of our bigger universities. Waterloo has a department that's doing some research on it in environmental studies and health studies. And a couple of really interesting gardens came up, one in Edmonton and one in the Territories, which we'll talk about in a minute. But then Alan said, hey, do you remember that there's actually a big community garden here in Lethbridge? And I did. And as soon as I pointed my Google at it, at community gardens in Lethbridge, our local area, for those of you that might be in another country or another part of the world, turns out there are 8 community gardens right here local to us. So that's pretty amazing. But when I was looking through the information put out by the city of Lethbridge, who has a group that helps oversee all of these, they use the word bumping space to create new bumping space. Have you ever heard of that?
Bumping? No, never.
Yeah. And I was imagining, okay, bumping space, you know, and I was thinking geographical, like the, you know, the shoulders between urban and rural, or creating green space, or I was coming up with all these, you know, scenarios, what it can mean. And I finally looked it up, and it's a term to mean a place or an activity where people can bump into other people and make community, like build relationships. Yeah, isn't that a great term? Bumping space.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, love it.
So that's one of the goals of community gardening expressed here in the city of Lethbridge, and is, of course, I think common to all of them, is now with so many people working remotely and, you know, our post-COVID environment, the opportunity for just bumping into people and striking up a conversation can be limited unless you go out of your way to plan it, right?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's a great way to be able to just have that serendipity take over and allow you to connect with other people. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and you know, in that, I was going to say, you know, Alan and I are both very busy in the community. Alan more so than I am. But after I ended up in the wheelchair because of my illness, it made it really difficult to socialize.
Sure.
Right. And, you know, because we have dogs, people that are allergic, like, you know, I have friends that have dog allergies. I can't really go to their house because they're not wheelchair accessible. They come here and they have to fight the allergy. So we have to, you know, meet somewhere else. But a lot of the modern community gardens use, and in here, Lethbridge, quite a number of them do, box planters. And so the ground in between them would certainly be wheelchair accessible from the photographs that I looked at.
Whew, that's awesome. Yeah, that's yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
And, you know, for a lot of people, that might be a great way to overcome some of the restrictions of an illness or, you know, a mobility issue, or, you know, people that maybe don't like closed in spaces or large groups. So pretty exciting that way.
It is.
I imagine you can guess what the benefits are in terms of mental health, but a lot of research recently has gone into the psychological benefits, stress reduction, improved memory, which I thought was a really cool one. There's a study on how being outdoor and manually active helps improve our memory and recall. And when we're working in that type of situation, our brains are sort of filing, reorganizing themselves, and it's very useful to have that time. And it's something modern civilization doesn't give us. We often engage in video games or other social activities that don't give us that resting focus, if that's, you know, an appropriate term.
Cool. That makes real good sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the whole, you know, contact connection with nature, right? Like whether it's grass or soil that you have your hands or your body connecting with, kind of a thing. That's a huge, huge advantage. And the sun, getting the sun's rays on you. That's all beautiful things. Yeah.
I grew up on a ranch, out by a town called Bentley in Gull Lake here in Alberta. And, some of my fondest memories, we only really farmed to feed the animals. We didn't really farm in production. The ranch was based on breeding livestock, horses and cattle. But we did farm, partly because that's how my grandfather and grandmother paid for the farm during the Depression. And my grandmother was a teacher, which allowed them to pay, you know, the mortgage and taxes and feed. They took on 12 hired hands during the Depression.
Wow.
Because of her income. She was one of the few teachers that had a degree at that time, a Bachelor of Education, because you could teach with what they called normal, which was, I think, 2 years out of high school or maybe a year out of high school. I can't remember. But wow. One room schoolhouses when she started. But yeah, she was a teacher in Bentley through the Lacombe School Board. And the point is that growing up, even though it was quite a small farm by farm standards, decent sized ranch, but the farming was small. I remember working in the fields and, you know, being so dusty and dirty because we didn't have the big fancy air conditioned cabbed in tractors and things. We would be so dirty when you bit into white bread, you would leave a black lip mark on the white bread from the dust on your lips. And I used to think that was hilarious when I was a kid. And I just remember sitting around with, you know, my grandparents and my father and brother and, you know, uncle and friends and people helping out. And that sense of community is like no other I've ever experienced in my life.
Well, yeah, you had actually said when we were talking earlier today, if a neighbor had a problem, you hop in the truck and you go over and help, whether that's finishing the harvest or, you know, getting the cattle in that got escaped somehow, or putting up a barn, whatever it was that they needed, kind of a thing, then you were there to help. You and your family were there to help, right? So
yeah. Oh, and I remember years when we would divide up. You know, we hadn't got our harvest in, but a neighbor got sick or got hurt, and two or three of us from our farm would go over to the neighbor that was experiencing trouble and help them get in, even though it meant that our harvest was a bit at risk. We spread that pain around, if you will. And there was just never a feeling that you were alone ever, you know, that whatever problem you had to face, there were people, and you might not know them that well. And there would be, you know, people show up to help if there was a problem. I remember there was a stubble fire one year. My grandfather was running the tractor, and he got burnt pretty bad. The stubble caught on fire, and it was on our lakefront property, which fortunately was surrounded on two sides by Gull Lake. But there was people showing up from all over, came in from, you know, the town of Bentley, town of Rimby to help put it out, and didn't know half the people there, but we all, you know, got put out, and we shared a nice, you know, potluck that was just thrown together at the last minute by everyone. And you know, that sense of community. And community gardens are a way, I think, and I think that's why it was in the reviving traditions. They have a big sense of that for maybe people that have never experienced that, you know, we have one thing in common, and that's tilling the land and getting what needs to be done done. And that brings us all together in a common way.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you said there was 8 community gardens in Lethbridge. Is that correct?
That's correct. And you know, there's 2 that came up when I first started teaching this. And one is Edmonton Millwoods Wagner Community Garden. And this one is really known for its multicultural bonding and diversity. And in a time when there's a lot of cultural division and conflict in every country, including Canada, this garden has been able to transcend that. And people from really diverse cultural language, you know, lots of the people can't, you know, might not know English or a foreign language very well, but they speak the language of helping each other and, you know, the language of dirt and plants and growing and cleaning and caring. The language of caring, I think. So that's an amazing project there. You can get some research in that online. That, again, is Edmonton Millwoods Wagner Community Garden. They have a big summer potluck picnic, which reminded me of the farm. And they talk through the universal language of food and gardening is their motto. Nice. The other one was really cool. I pulled this one out. And that's, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but the Lutselke community in the Northwest Territory. Do you want to have a go at pronouncing that, Alan?
Lutselke.
Nice. That sounds wonderful. Right. Every version I came up sounded horrible. Okay. Well done.
I apologize for the people of the community of Lutselke if I screwed that that pronunciation up. But
you're fortunate Alan tried instead of me, because, yeah, it would have been worse. This is a really unique example of a community garden because everything had to be flowing in. It's such a remote area that there's no running water. There's no well. There's no pump anywhere close. The community volunteer fire department brings water into the garden.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. And the whole project is about local traditions and self-sufficiency. They had to fly in the seeds even to begin with. And one of the goals was to let young people taste non-store-bought produce because these remote communities don't have the luxury that, you know, we do, where we're on a major trade route or transport route. So our grocery stores get, you know, fresh in quotation marks, produce from all over the world, which may have been in a container ship for a month or more. But the remote communities just don't have that. So this garden was a chance to let people experience, you know, things that traditionally would have been part of their life, things that would have grown and existed in that environment. I thought that was a pretty cool example.
I think it is too. I have to admit, I'm not much of a gardener. I wish I was. I love the fresh produce, but I just don't like doing the gardening work, which is that, I don't know what that is, but I am trying, as you know, to become a mushroom.
Yes.
Because less, no weeding, and it's kind of more fortuitous that, oh, look, there's mushrooms. They've come up. Well, hallelujah. Right. So I think you just kind of, it's a whole different thing. So yeah.
When you brought that up, I did some reading on it. And what I thought was really interesting is the mushrooms may or may not come up for years. So if nothing grows in your mushroom patch, you can just say, oh, they'll come and relax. And you don't have to get bent out of shape. You know, if it doesn't harvest this year, maybe 2 years from now or something. Yeah. So it seems like a pretty stress-free, it's like fishing with no bait.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. I've at the Urban Apothecary, they sold me some mushroom things, right? And you basically take a log, drill a little hole in the log, put it in there, and then put a little bit of wax over top of it. And so I did that like a year ago. And then so like 2 months after I did it, I said, hey, there's no mushrooms growing. They said, yeah, wait like 3 years. I said,
yeah. So if you don't mind the slow burn, mushrooms could be a good way to get into gardening. And, you know, there's lots of herb gardens and things like that you can grow in your own home. But the community garden model gets you out and gives you, you know, access to that bumping space. And what's really cool is, as I said, there's 8 community gardens in Lethbridge here. 4 of them are on city-owned lands. The other 4 are on, I don't want to say private property, because one of them is on the university. But non-city lands, and there's a few different types of community gardens.
Tell me more.
Well, if you're a fan of British murder mysteries, you've probably seen the British or European style where you, you know, you get a plot and it can be passed on to generations, and whatever you grow in that plot belongs to you, and it's a very private sort of affair, although it's managed by, you know, a community manager, I guess you would call them. And you know, if TV is to be believed and trusted, which of course it is, many murderous and various sundry things occur in these community garden patches, a good place to hide stuff and all sorts of things. No, I'm joking, of course. But the model here basically has three different types. And one type is what they called, I want to get this right, because it's actually a quote. And it's all for the harvest, a harvest for all. So basically the premise that I understand it to be is the resources are shared in, you know, a communal harvest. And there's usually a potluck or some other food event attached to that. Then another type where it seems like the plots are more private, although in these community gardens, there are plots that are designated for the food bank and other charities, and you're obligated to spend a certain amount of time. You rent your little plot. I think the two that I saw that were available right now, one was maybe only the 4x8 foot plot was available, but they had a larger size, 10x14, maybe, if memory serves. And so you have to donate a guaranteed number of hours to the community, you know, keeping the area clean and the area between the plots and donating. This is in Lethbridge. These examples are from Lethbridge.
Okay, cool.
And then the third type, and we do have at least one here in Lethbridge, is what they call a learning garden.
Hmm.
And that's an opportunity where people who don't have a background in gardening, unlike yourself, I grew up with every member of my family had a huge garden. And being a child, we were treated like slave labor and shuttled between all of them to plant and weed and harvest. And I have many memories, not all of them fond, about tending family garden plots. it's more fun if you're doing it because you want to, not because, you know, grandma needs it done. But in hindsight, they were great times.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the third type of garden here in Lethbridge is a learner's garden, where if you have no experience, you can get involved. There is a wait list often for the garden plots. I know the university one is quite long, as well as the more longer lived ones on the north side. So every year, the way most of them work is every year you have to apply, but preference is given to people that were there the year before.
Hmm, interesting.
There is a pretty good community. I requested to join one, the Lethbridge Gardeners community on Facebook. I think there was 438 members that it said were in there. The Lethbridge Horticultural Society is involved. They do presentations on plant types and environment. And there was a great one that I would have liked to gone to on garden pests and insects.
Hmm.
But that was last month. And so, but I do suggest, if you're listening to this and you're in Lethbridge area, have a look at them on Facebook. And if you're outside of our geographic region, do a search. There'll be a community organization somewhere close to you that has opportunities for community gardening available.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. What a great concept, and what a, like, no downside to it. The outside, you get some exercise, you get the fresh air, you get connection with nature, you get to eat like the most amazing produce that can be, that you can eat, right? It's nothing's fresher and purer in terms of its how it's grown. Yeah, it's beautiful.
There's a program in Vancouver, and I think in other places as well, called the Therapeutic Gardening Programs. And they transform traffic circles and intersections into green spaces tended by local residents.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Beautifies the city, provides mental health and a relief of support to community participants. And a lot of the people that are involved are street people or people without fixed addresses. And because it's a community activity, they're welcome and encouraged to participate.
Great idea.
Great opportunity and a great way to improve therapy as well. Physical, a lot of people find that, you know, getting out and just moving in a garden, there can be a lot of bending, but I know that there's tools available to help people with limited mobility, sort of grabbers and weeders and things that, you know.
Well, you also said about the raised flower beds too, right? Or raised beds too, right?
Yes, exactly. And if you are interested in these, it's a good idea to get involved and get your name out there. I did see on the Lethbridge community group that a person had said, hey, I'm looking for a plot on the west side. Does anyone know if there are any available? And a few people answered her right away with links to an application form. And I think it was Copperwood Community Garden that they suggested had some available plots. That was the most recent post. So if you listen to this local, you might want to check that out. What's really cool in the Lethbridge City resources is one of their goals is to help people who want to establish a community garden.
Oh, really? Nice. Nice. So if you have a big backyard and you're interested in doing a community garden, you can contact the city and they'll help you. What a great bump and opportunity that would be, eh?
Amazing. And the resources are really well prepared. It's a whole manual and it's laid out very understandably. It covers everything that I could possibly think of and a few things I didn't imagine that needed to be considered. There are resources in the community to help get this started. So again, as you said, if you had some resources, or maybe even if you had the time to put in and didn't have a location, it'd be worth contacting the city and the community gardening people or people in your community if you're outside of Lethbridge and seeing what it would take to get started.
Yeah, I believe it's Zach Bush, Dr. Zach Bush, who talks about the victory gardens in like the 40s, right? After the Second World War, where everybody had a garden, right? Like, and that's what that served a big chunk of that family's nutritional needs, right? As well as their, you know, all of the other great advantages of gardening, right? And then to get back to that, to have that connection instead of walking to the grocery store to be able to have that connection with, you know, growing the food you're consuming, that's a beautiful thing.
One of the two areas that I thought were really interesting that were highlighted in the mental health is that stress reduction, of course, you know, we know that physical activity and being outside doing anything reduce stress. But there has been a lot of interest on self-esteem building and on how nurturing plants, which are a lot easier than puppies or horses. I think Alan and I can both attest to that. And you're not quite as sad if they don't survive your care. It provides great opportunities for you to express that nurturing and self-esteem that you've accomplished something. One of the other areas that was really interesting is a sense of purpose and the upkeep needed, not just to your garden, but the garden areas, provide you with a consistent work and it requires some dedication to follow through. And from that, they have found that people really do develop a better sense of purpose. And it's something that you're doing voluntarily. So it's not, you know, the grind of your job or other things. And the mental health benefits are real. And there are unique ones to the activity of community gardening.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. So interesting topic. I'm going to post the links. We're running out of time. We have to be really careful on our time here with our new format, but we're also going to be posting every show and it should show up 1 to 6 hours, I'm told, after we do the broadcast here on our video cast. It'll show up as a podcast on most of the platforms. Some of them take a couple of days in the more unique niche markets. But you'll also be able to find us at acapellist.ca/H3, and I'll be publishing that on our social media here on Alan's page and my page and the H3 page. So those links will be available, and you can jump to that, and the most recent show will be there, as well as our past shows.
Yeah, awesome. So if you want to just hear our voices, do the podcast. If you actually want to see us, come back here next Thursday at 7 p.m. and we're going to do this again.
Yeah, and we're, as always, and tradition, we'll be on Jess TV and Jess FM and the Jess network of great shows to watch. So that won't be changing. If you're, you know, comfortable with how you're viewing us now, continue that. But if you'd like to hear from us, or you've missed a show and want to hear us on your morning commute or your home commute or any of those other things, tune into one of our podcasts.
And maybe you might have a discussion you want to share with us about health, hope, and happiness. Come on, give us a shout and be our guest. We would love to have a chat with you.
Yeah, excellent. That's why Al's the host and I'm just a co-host. That's a great, great thing to bring up, because we'd like to get more people that are interested, concerned in the business, in the, you know, or have a passion for health, hope, and happiness, and really want to share or get involved in the discussion. We're always open to that. There are no barriers to, you know, talking to Al and I about these things. We're interested in everything.
All right, Brother Scott, take us home.
For my good friend, the acapellist Alan Friesen, and myself, Scott Sweetman, right here on H3, thank you so much for viewing or listening, and we'll be back next week. Same time, same places. Hope to see you then.
Gita Matson. See you next.